Hey everyone, welcome to a quick solo Reverse Thieves podcast for Anime Secret Santa 2023. My name is Alan. We usually have Kate on, but she is currently in Japan having fun. So I'm just going to be doing a solo review of the one movie that I watched for Anime Secret Santa, which was Space Adventure Cobra, The Move from 1982. My other two choices for Anime Secret Santa are Aim for the Ace, the original TV series, and Marine Express. I will try at some point, since I did borrow the Blu-rays from Kate, to watch Aim for the Ace and do a follow-up podcast on that, but just because of work and real life shenanigans, I didn't get around to watching the Aim for the Ace TV series, so I'm just going to be talking about the movie. If you didn't pick up on it, the three choices that I got were all by legendary director Osamu Dezaki. And Space Adventure Cobra is a long-running sci-fi series by legendary buttocks enthusiast Buichi Terasawa, based on a very popular 70s manga. It got a TV series as well as a movie. And this is kind of a rundown of kind of the climax of the first arc, where Cobra takes on his nemesis, Crystal Boy, the leader of the Pirate Guild. The movie is interesting in that it kind of drops you in the middle of the first arc of the story and then kind of rushes to complete that. And so I think the movie accomplishes that, but it's very clearly like got a time budget. And so every minute of the movie really has to be doing its work to get you quickly just like up to speed to who Cobra is, just in case for some reason you've never met this character. Although on a certain level, doesn't assume you've seen him, but points it does feel a little more like a refresher than an introduction. But he's not that complicated a character, so like you just have to know that he's this space pirate who's kind of also a bounty hunter, that he used to be like legendary, but he had to fake his own death to escape the Pirate Guild that's still after him. And that, you know, the Pirate Guild is this super powerful organization of pirates that are basically like the pirate mafia. They can, you know, they have the hands in everything. They control everything. And if there's crime anywhere in the Seventh Galaxy, you know, the Pirate Guild probably has its, you know, hands in it. And its seemingly indestructible leader is Crystal Boy. And so, yeah, it's about, you know, the story of Cobra meeting these three sisters who are, like, linked to this legendary planet that, you know, supposedly died long ago. And these three sisters have the power to unlock it. And, of course, Crystal Boy wants to get control of it. And at least one of the sisters at the start is looking for Cobra because she feels he is the only man who can, you know, help her, you know, free her planet and her sisters from the horrible machinations of Crystal Boy and the Pirate Guild. So yeah, I think my like biggest impression is I feel like certain things are a classic because, you know, like the, you know, a frequent way I see people talk about certain classics is that they feel timeless, that you could watch them at any time and they feel like new to any audience, or like they don't feel rooted to their point. Whereas I could say that Cobra has a distinct like classic feel to Cobra the movie, but it is almost the exact opposite. It is so clearly set in its time. It is like part of the character of the film almost, because it's in this, it was made in 1982. And so it's very clearly partially in this post Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back era where, you know, Japan was, you know, super influenced by the Star Wars movies. You could just, you know, you could do a whole podcast on how much the, you know, original Star Wars trilogy influenced Japan, and especially anime and sci-fi in Japan. But it's also based on a manga that started in the late 70s, and like the 70s influence on this is still there. So it's like this midpoint between like classic 70s pulp sci-fi, I mean the like 70s psychedelic imagery is just present throughout, and the character designs are still, you know, very heavily rooted in that 70s feel. But at the same time, you can start to see the influence that like 80s sci-fi would also have. So it's just kind of definitely has its feet in both, you know, both decades, which, but it's still very undoubtedly, you know, in that like early 80s feel. Like you, it's unmistakable that you cannot go back and watch The Simpsons and not realize, oh, this is clearly a anime sci-fi series movie that was based, you know, in this early 80s period. But yeah, very, very clearly also, you know, Buichi Terasawa, because man, do these three sisters get naked for, you know, whatever reason the plot can contrive to get these girls naked. I mean, at one point, and it's not just those three. I mean, at one point there's this like kind of freedom fighter, guerrilla terrorist group, Snow Gorilla, and they're just all made up of hot ladies in very tight revealing outfits. I mean, they're not revealing in the sense of they show a lot of skin. They're basically like full body, but they are just tight enough that you see like every curve. And it's, you know, Terasawa, so, you know, them ladies got lots of curves in 70s hair. Cobra himself definitely feels like a kind of Lupin hero. He's, you know, definitely pervy, a little bit greedy and selfish, but he's not like full Cagliostro, but he's not full like 70s Lupin. He's kind of in between. He, you know, he has a noble heart when push comes to shove, but he's still kind of a selfish douche, you know. And, you know, he clearly has an eye for the ladies, but I don't think he's anywhere as aggressive as, you know, full perv on. He just definitely has an appreciation for the female form and the pleasures of female companionship. I will say they do a good job of like setting up Crystal Boy as an asshole you want to see defeated, even though they don't have the, you know, they don't have the full run of the first arc of the manga to do that, so that's pretty good. I will say that like the love story aspect of the whole thing has to be rushed, but you know, it's very clearly trying to compress. Well, I say it's trying to compress the story of the manga, but I do feel like this is kind of based on like 70s pulp adventures. So I wonder if we're really, I don't, part of me wonders if we're actually getting any compression or everything happens as quickly in the original manga. Probably happens that quickly in the real manga. We're probably getting a real time documentary. Now that I think about it, we're probably not getting any compression at all. The adventure is fairly straightforward. I mean, there's some backstory and exposition that usually I find it interesting that like there's a lot of like exposition during fight scenes, so it's like we got an economy of time and we're not in like one of these like let's sit at a boardroom and talk about the lore before we get to the next action scene. It's like we got we don't have a lot of time and we got to tell a story, so every time there's exposition, you know, there's some kind of, you know, shootout or, you know, death-defying escape going. So, you know, definitely a con. You know, Dezaki's, you know, a legend for a reason. Very well directed. You know, definitely, like, good shot composition. Like, just some, like, really well animated and well thought out scenes. Once again, it is very 70s. Very kind of trippy. If you're expecting, like, more straightforward kind of action, like a Dirty Pair, that has some of that. But it is still kind of 70s origins. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It was definitely fun. It's one of those series that like is all about experience. I don't feel you'll ever feel lost, but you do have to care a little more about like living in the feel of something and like kind of just taking the story as it goes, as opposed to like, you know, wanting to exist in something that is like richer or deeper. It's definitely more about like experience and bombast than anything else. Yeah, I thank my Secret Santa for my pick. As I said, I'll try and finish Aim for the Ace and talk about that. Maybe I'll do that, not in like a separate podcast, but in the next Speakeasy that is in our year in review in January. So probably like our February, but we'll probably be doing a season review. Maybe I'll just knock it out at the beginning of the season review before we do the season review. Because, well, we'll see what happens. It depends a lot on Kate and my schedule. But once again, thank everybody involved in the Secret Santa Project. And we'll talk to you guys later.